Welcome to Living Beyond Limits. I'm so glad that you came to share your morning with us and with each other. And if you are new to us today, from the very bottom of our hearts to yours, we're so glad that you joined us. Welcome today. And for those of you who are joining us online, welcome also. Welcome to our service. I don't know if I already said this. So I'm Reverend Jennifer Speer, and we are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living. And so let's start the service today by reading our mission statement that's on the front of the bulletin. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. So that's what's happening here at Living Beyond Limits, as we are giving ourselves the opportunity to remember that, yes, indeed, at our very essence, we are spiritual beings, that we come from that infinite one, by whatever name you want to call it, the source or life or the universe or God or the living spirit or whatever you call it, that we come from that as emanations of that one. And what that means then is if we come from that and we come as that then we already contain within ourselves all of those qualities of that living spirit. We already contain peace and love and wholeness and authentic power and goodness and all the qualities. And that what that means then is then when we are living our lives, when we're out in the world, when we're doing things that don't reflect back to us, say peace or love or kindness or generosity, we aren't as reliant on the world giving us that. Because when we are finding that we're in a situation where that is not happening, we can tap into that within ourselves. We can be the peace. We can be loving. We can be generous or kind or whatever is being called for. That puts us in a place of power, and it also changes what's happening in the world. It changes the conversation or the relationship. And as we do that, we become a beneficial presence wherever we go, in whatever we do. And because everything is connected to everything else, everything is part of this oneness of life, it not only affects that moment and that situation, but it permeates out like ripples on a pond to affect the whole. And so I thank each and every single one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to be bringing your spirit and that presence of the infinite into this world in a way that is good and in a way that is beneficial. Thank you for that. So I actually read a survey this week that said that 20% of Americans, or approximately 64 million people, identify as spiritual rather than religious. And less people than that 20%, 16% of Americans say that religion is the most important thing in their life. And so what about you? Do you see yourself as spiritual and not religious, or do you see yourself as religious? Do you see yourself as spiritual but not really religious? Yeah, that's how I see myself too, as spiritual but not really religious. Yet, at the same time, Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, said, "Religion should be like the morning sun, sending forth its rays of light. It should be like the falling dew, covering the land with fragrance and sweetness, like the cool evening and the repose of night. It should be a spontaneous song of joy." That's the kind of religion or spirituality that I want to participate in. That kind that nurtures and feeds my soul. And so to me, I think to be spiritual is really about our interior lives and what goes on inside of us. I think it's also about how we live our daily lives. rather than following some particular doctrine that an organization puts out or participating in particular practices that are ordained by that religion. It's more interior and how we're living. And one of the core values at Centers for Spiritual Living is actually spirituality. And so I think for us who are living spiritual lives, many of us have realized that success and title and achievements don't really bring true or lasting happiness. They feel good when we are successful and when we have an achievement, but it isn't really lasting. There is some quiet and deeper and insistent need that's inside of us still. That insistent, quiet need that somehow isn't being met by that success or achievements. Somehow it's not being addressed by our success and achievements. It's a need of our spirit, a need of our own spiritual nature. Episcopal Bishop John Shelby Spong, in his book, Rescuing the Bible from Fundamentalism, said, "We call life good. We look for and find meaning in divinity, not always so much in an external God as in the very depths of our humanity. But it is divinity nonetheless. We discover transcending spirit within ourselves. We have come to the dawning realization that God might not be separate from us, but rather deep within us. The sense of God as the sum of all that is, plus something more. Deep within us." Do you love that definition of God? The sense of that God is the sum of all that is, plus something more. I like that. And so as human beings, we have a need to dance with our spirit. We have a need to feel our spirit and to experience our spirit, to sense our spirit, and to express our spirit in the world. And when we only live from our worldly, earthly, egoic sense, it's like we're only experiencing part of the picture then. It's kind of like watching a movie that doesn't have any sound effects or that is missing its musical score. The movie might be really good, but there's still something that is flat about it. It's not as rich or as beautiful as it could be if it had those other elements. It doesn't feel quite as complete. But when we experience that part of ourselves that is beyond our ego, that part of ourselves that is beyond just our very human self, beyond our physicality, and beyond our thinking, then we get to experience the essence of who we are, our divinity, our actual self, our eternal self, who we really are. And one of the core principles of Centers for Spiritual Living is that we are each spiritual beings, that we are all spiritual beings. And because we are spiritual beings, we want to experience that. We want to experience ourselves as spiritual beings. We want to experience the love that is innately within us. We want to experience our innate goodness. We want to experience our wholeness and our perfection and our authentic power. One of my really good friends, her husband's family are all Mormon, and they call them the Arizona family. When they go to Arizona to visit the Mormon family, they go to church with them. And it's not really their thing, but they go with them nonetheless. And my friend Patsy has told me that after church, they were having a women's meeting. And so all the women go to the women's meeting, and they're sitting in their circle, and they're ready. And she's like, "Why aren't we starting? What are we waiting for?" And her cousin says to her, "We have to wait for one of the brothers. There has to be a man in the room before we can start our meeting." There has to be a man present in order to have a church meeting for the women. You know what? That does not enable someone to actually find their own inner wisdom or to discover their own authentic power or to stand in their own wholeness, their own enoughness, or to actualize their full potential. Do you see how it holds that down from happening? When we experience our own wholeness and our own authentic power and our own goodness, our wholeness, we come home to ourselves. We discover ourselves and come home to that. And when we're grounded in our true nature, in our spiritual nature, we come to the world then with greater care and with greater kindness, with greater compassion and generosity and unconditional love. Have you noticed that about yourself? That you come to the world like that when you're really grounded in your own spiritual beingness? There's an automatic connection. There's an automatic wanting to support and care and a generosity of spirit, of kindness. I was putting gas in my car a week ago or so, and as I'm pumping my gas, the bus stop is over by the sidewalk here, and there was a homeless man with his shopping cart filled really high with stuff, and he had jackets and blankets and things over his head and the long beard, and he kept looking up and looking at me while I was pumping my gas. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to give him some money. And that isn't usually what I do. And so I took some money out of my purse and put my purse in the car and walked over to him and gave him some money. It was so amazing. He had the most beautiful eyes and had this sweet persona about him and said, "God bless you," to me. But it was this spirit-to-spirit connection is what happened. And I think sometimes our fear keeps us from doing that. It keeps us from connecting with people, whether it be a homeless person or just somebody out there. Yet when we allow ourselves to have that spirit-to-spirit connection, we see a beauty that we didn't get to see before. We feel a connection that's innately, automatically there because the truth of oneness. But when we are in our egoic human self, we somehow have these walls up and we experience ourselves as more separate from everyone else. Brené Brown said, "Spirituality is recognizing and celebrating that we are all inextricably connected to each other by a power greater than we are. And that our connection to that power and to one another is grounded in love and compassion. Practicing spirituality brings a sense of perspective, meaning, and purpose to our lives." And I think that's really what we want, is we want to have meaning and purpose to our lives. And I think when we're living a spiritual life, everything we do then somehow has a sense of meaning and purpose to it, and that motivates how we come to the world. And at the same time, it's so easy to spend our days wholly driven by our egoic needs and our physical needs. It's so easy to be focused on what it is that we need to accomplish and what it is that we need to get done just to live this physical life. And so busy taking care of those physical needs like eating and all the things that require going shopping for food and washing dishes and making the meals and that kind of stuff. Sleeping, clothing ourselves, whether that's doing laundry or buying clothes or just getting dressed. Exercise and rest can take so much of our time every day just to take care of those physical needs. And then there's those egoic needs, and one of those is actually for self-esteem and to feel good about ourselves. And that can be the thing that motivates you to finish that class that you're taking so you can feel good about yourself, or to finish that project that you're working on, or to even finish reading that book. You know how that gives you a sense of accomplishment after you finish that? That bolsters your sense of self your egoic self, that you feel good about yourself. Cleaning out your closet, that sense of feels so good afterwards. Even playing a game on your phone or your computer bolsters your self-esteem because you can win again and again and again. And if you don't win, you can play it again so that you do win and you feel like a winner. How much of our time do we spend doing all of those things? It's so easy to have your whole day consumed by those kinds of things. And so really, I think part of the problem is that our ego voice is so much louder than our spirit. It's like a clanging cymbal. You can't miss it. It's so loud. But our spiritual needs that we have are just as important. The voice just isn't as loud. In order to hear the voice of our spirit, we have to get quiet. And so maybe it's when you're laying in bed at night before you fall asleep, and you hear those quiet urgings of what's important on a deeper level, or you feel these stirrings, or maybe it's when you're in the shower, or just when you're alone with your own thoughts and alone with yourself. And if we don't pay attention to that heed of our spirit, what happens is then we end up feeling this divine discontent, where something just feels like it's missing. Life somehow is missing some sort of depth or meaning or purpose. That's something deeper, and it feels like a discontent, a divine discontent. And sometimes what I find interesting is really it's only when we heed that call to be loving or to be kind or to be generous in a place that we wouldn't normally do it, that afterwards we recognize that that was the call of our spirit, because it allows something, our spirit, to come forward, and how good that feels. And so the title of my talk today is Let Your Roots Grow Out. And I'm talking about at our deepest level that we want to live from that actual self. We want to live as that actual self, that eternal self that we are, who we are as a spiritual being. But it requires then that we eliminate the distractions of the daily things that we have to do so that we can actually be quiet, so that we can hear that call of our spirit. It requires also to live a spiritual life and to live from that place within us. It requires that we remind ourselves of who we actually are. And it requires also to live from that place within us that we actually make a commitment to do that, a commitment to live a spiritual life, even when it's difficult. That's the thing that enables us to grow our spiritual roots so that they spread out into our life, so that they touch everything in our life, so that they touch everything that we do. And so that first one is to eliminate distractions, to be quiet and listen within. And the second one is to remind ourselves of who we are. And so I'd like to invite you to do that with me right now. So I invite you to join me in a meditation. And to allow yourself just to turn within to that silence of your own beingness, that place within you that is beyond the doings of this world, that is beyond personality, that is beyond your human wants and needs and desires, the stillness within you. In this stillness, we touch our self, capital S self. In this stillness, we touch the presence of the living God. Here in this connection, in this oneness, all ego boundaries dissolve. In this communion, there is no longer a separate self. There is only one, the divine. And we meld into that infinite nature of spirit. In this melding, we recognize that we have come here to make manifest on earth that which God is in heaven. In this communion, our soul speaks to us of the truth that we have come here to express. The truth that we have come here to be. The quiet urgings of our soul lead us in peace and in joy to experience and to express our own divine nature. And as we listen within, we are inspired, we are led, we are guided. And as we listen to the spirit within ourselves, we become that spirit through our actions. In beauty, in love, in peace, and in wholeness, we bring this world a something that is beyond the beyond. We see the world through spiritual eyes. We touch the world with inspired hands. We embrace the world with the heart of the divine. As we live our lives from that deep within us, we come as love. We come as peace. We come as wholeness. And we come here as power. And we act out of oneness. We come from that living spirit. We come as that living spirit. And so I invite you just to rest there for a moment. So I invite you to begin to bring your awareness back to your body, to the chair that you're sitting on, feeling your feet on the floor. And when you're ready, to open your eyes. That eternal part of ourselves is not knocked off balance. It's not swayed. It just is. And being that the voice of our ego is so loud and clamors to have its needs met all the time, we must take time to get quiet so that we can feel and sense and know that aspect of ourselves, the quietness of our own spirit, so that we can hear our own eternal voice. So we must give our human self time and space to do that. Time and space to hear that which is deeper, to hear our real self. And if you want to live your spirituality, you want to live from that, capital T, that within you, you have to commit to doing it even when it's difficult. Even when your neighbor is being bad-mannered, even when the drivers on the road are being careless or self-absorbed, even when you don't like the way things are going on around you, your spirituality is not reliant upon what they do. I'm going to say that again. Your spirituality is not reliant upon what they do. And when you slip up, because you will, when you get mad and irate and reactive, because you will, when you do that, your job is to notice it. Remember, that's mindfulness. To notice it, to recognize it, and then to remind yourself of who you really are. To remind yourself that regardless of what you just did and what's happening, wholeness is still right here. To remind yourself that perfection is still right here. That love is within you. That goodness is your own nature right here, and that power cannot go anywhere. It's who you are. And breathe into that and lean into that. And when you do that, what you will discover is that your spirit is right there waiting for you, waiting for your conscious mind just to get back into alignment with it. It's right there, ready to express again. So let yourself off the hook when you don't come from that place all the time, and commit to doing it to the best of your ability, and pay attention and notice, and remind yourself, oh yes, this is still right here, even though I just yelled at my spouse, and move back into how it is that you really want to live your life. So your call this week is, one, to give yourself time and space to listen within, to get still and quiet and detach from the world so that you can hear the divinity within you, so that you can hear the call of your own spirit, disconnect and listen in, and do the things that remind you of who you really are. That might mean doing spiritual study. It might mean reading books that are inspiring to you. It might mean coming here to church, listening to podcasts, having a prayer partner that you pray with? Because sometimes we forget and we need something from the outside to remind us, oh yeah, and it kind of stirs that inside of us and helps us get back into that place. Is that not one of the reasons why you come here on Sundays? Oh yeah, lines me back up with myself here. And commit to living your spirituality and whatever it takes to be able to do that. And just keep practicing. And as a result, you'll be living a soul-fulfilled life, and you will be creating a piece of heaven everywhere you go. And so blessings to each and every single one of you on this path of remembering who you are, and this path of bringing that into this world in a way that is so miraculous and so beautiful and so healing. You are much appreciated. Blessings to each of you. And so I invite you to join me in a prayer. Actually, I'm going to invite Rick Dale to come up here and pray with me. Let's do a tag prayer. Okay. Yeah.
I'll do it really loud.
There's a microphone right there.
I'll do it loud.
You want to go first or second?
Matters not to me.
You go first then. I'll let you.
There is only one power and presence, and that is God. It is right before us, right behind us, above us, below us, within us. It has given us this gift of life, and it has given us the ability to choose what to do with it, how to think, how to live. And what I know is that each of us is a divine expression. We have been made in the image and likeness of that perfect oneness. And we can see that oneness in the eyes of the onlooker, and we can be that oneness for the person next to us and for the whole world. And I know that this is so, and I am grateful for it. And I pass to Jennifer.
And so I just revel in this truth. And what a blessing it is today to be in recognition of that infinite one, closer than our very breathing. Always right here where we are, the fullness, the allness, the grandeur, the magnificence of spirit, right here, not just surrounding us, not just moving with us, but filling us. For I know that each one of us, our own essential nature, the core of who we are, is that here in form as our unique soul living this human life. And so today we each live this human life and walk this path as spiritual beings, bringing the light and the love and the goodness and the beauty of God forward into this world in a way that blesses everything. And not just do we act as conduits, but we stand in the truth of who we are, which is the wholeness of life, which is perfection itself, which is goodness in form. How good it is to be in recognition of this and to be living this conscious life. And so I speak this word not just about us, but about every single person in this entire world, knowing that that infinite one is also right where they are, unfolding itself in them and through them as a healing balm, as a light that illuminates anything that has looked like darkness, as love and peace and abundance and good. And it is making itself known everywhere right now. And so today we just accept that as the truth. And we rest in that, look for that, expect that, and experience just that. And so we release this word into that law of perfection that expresses itself like a mirror, mirroring back into life. And I invite you to join me in saying, and so it is. Nice. Thank you.
God has spoken.
Fun.
Dead.
All right, so I invite you to repeat after me. The love and light of spirit are within me now.
The love and light of Spirit are within me now.
I own it and I share it.
I own it and I share it.
I am it.
I am it.
I am a beneficial presence.
I am a beneficial presence.
And so it is.
And so it is.